Right now, it is time to bring in the Frick and Frack of Nick and Nack, Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guides. You'll find them on the web at tqag.com. Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
How are you guys doing after we've had about 8 inches of rain in 2 days up here and tropical storms and stuff like that, and you missed that this time.
We dodged it.
Yeah. 8 inches of rain down here. It's quite possible this time of the year for us, because this is the rainy season.
Yeah, but down there, the 8 inches goes away real quick. Here, it hangs around, puddles.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's a whole different of 8 inches. Now, I am going to start off. We have a guy here who's just an amazing classical music buff and has been a classical music announcer for years, and he now hosts a show called Classical Prelude here on the Monday mornings beginning at midnight, Terry. And he wrote me a note, and he wanted me to ask you about this. He has two umbrellas that belong to Jacob Rupert, okay? That's the man who made the Yankees the team that they are. The umbrellas he got when he was 14 years old. He's now 73, and each one of them has elaborately carved ivory handles and a band with initials JR. They went from Jacob Rupert to his sister, Phyllis, who the antiques dealer sold them to this guy's mother. He does have a letter of provenance. He has no idea what they might fetch. And because the handles are ivory, they may not even be saleable. They're over 100 years old, though, so he wanted me to ask you about those.
Mm. Well, I don't think the ivory is going to be that much of an issue. It just depends. If he has the provenance, they might be able to... I don't know if they'll bypass it or not, but if they've got the provenance, they might be able to establish that it's over 100 years old and it might be okay to sell. If not, then that's going to be one issue. The other issue is it's not Lou Gehrig, or it's not Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth. I mean, he's connected with the New York Yankees, but to what extent? I mean, I don't know how many people would be collecting Jacob Rupert memorabilia.
Yeah, well, but there are some sports collectible sites that have a number of his signature because of his position with the Yankees. There's a Jacob Rudolph autographed signed. It's a player contract for John Levy. And so it's a combination, because when you look at something like this, he would be in conjunction with other players, and this contract, and this is on a sports kind of collectibles buy it now type of website, and they're asking $1,700 for that. And also there's a payroll check that of course he signed, and it is in conjunction with Sam Jones, Sad Sam Jones of the Yankees, Hall of Famer, and they're asking $2,000 for that. So they're asking. No, of course. And this is what the site is, because they are selling that in conjunction with. My point is that by itself, it may not be as desirable as in conjunction with what these other players and what they are. Now, this is a personal item, so, you know, it's not something that went into the Yankees history and things like that, but there would be some sort of value. I mean, we'd have to do a little research and find out, but it would be a diehard fan who would recognize the name. I think that's the point that Greg, you were making, right? Is that
yeah,
it doesn't have that iconic, for example,
if he had a contract, if he had signed, if let's say that Babe Ruth, because his contracts sometimes have come up for auction, and it was a signed contract to Babe Ruth, but some and his and Jacob Rupert's name is attached to that, it would probably bring a lot more money. But are they collecting it because it's Rupert memorabilia, or are they collecting it because it's a signature on a contract with Babe Ruth's name on it?
Right.
So,
right.
That would be the question.
Basically, what you're saying is, if you have and it's possible, if you have a particular individual who is a Yankees freak, and also goes past the players back into the ownership and tracing the history of the Yankees, it could possibly be worth something or not. Basically, it's just sure. And the easiest way to do it is to take it to a site where people actually know what they're talking about it and can look at it and look at the provenance.
Well, there are sites out there for people to go to get questions answered about things similar to this, because we used to know a guy here in Palm Beach that was for autographs, and even sometimes the most what you would consider an insignificant autograph, we would take it to a local appraiser for signatures and autographs, and we would sometimes be surprised that, you know, maybe it would be worth something. But you don't necessarily have to spend a tremendous amount of money to find out how much it's going to cost. If like this gentleman, if he does have a collection, he must know other collectors, and that's really the best place to start, to try to find out something that's a kind of an unusual thing like this, is to start in the community where this kind of a collectible would be collected. And because there are groups on the internet out there that you can just type in baseball memorabilia groups, and you'd be surprised what you could find. So,
right. But more to Marshall's point is that you're going to have to find somebody who's more of a Yankees just diehard fan and wants everything affiliated with the management and what they own, because this doesn't an umbrella. It really doesn't, unless it has a Yankees logo on it. You know, it's just this personal effect that they had, and it's not driving the collectability and desirability of a sports memorabilia piece. This is kind of, you know, when you drop a stone in the water and there are those ripples, this is an outer layer.
Okay.
you want to be closer to the middle. Let me use that metaphor for the value to go up. And as you go out from the center, it gets less and less. So I think that that's the easiest way to talk about value for something like that.
All right. Now, Julian's has an auction beginning on August 30th, and Lucille Ball is going to be featured prominently in that, from scripts to outfits she wore and things like that. It's going to be interesting to see if she has any staying power in the auction market.
Ooh, Tim, you've actually sold a number of her things in the past, not only at Julian's, but at there are things that I think you sold also at Christie's. I mean, I'm not sure what her market is lately, because I don't think too much has come up for sale for her.
Well, yeah, and it looks like that they have a large selection. I mean, they have things like her. They have her bridal corset that she wore on her second wedding to Desi Arnaz. And also used golf cart, which people love golf carts. But it also looks like there's just a whole lot of a variety of different things. I will say that there has always been a desirability for Lucille Ball and her memorabilia. It's in upstate New York, is they always have the Lucille Ball Festival. And a friend of ours who lived in the area, who's now the director at the Wheeling at the Ogilvy.
Oh, we've had her as a guest on the show.
Yeah, Kristen would attend, and she lived in that area in upstate New York, where she said it was always just fun and people would come to town. I think the thing with Lucy is the same that would go maybe not as high as Monroe or, you know, these film stars, but from television and also from a comedian standpoint as being a real groundbreaker, is that there are a number of shows still being out there. I mean, her presence is still out there that people do know who she is, and there is name recognition, and there are a lot of fans that are still looking for those personal items. So it'll be interesting to watch to see what these things sell for, and what ultimately where it goes, because I think that there has not, and in the years that I've been doing memorabilia, you would get a trickle, like a very small number of items that would come up, nothing that would be a large group of things, like this auction. Looks like there is a large group of items that will be sold. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
You know, I found a couple of notes here that are pretty amazing, and there's going to be a lot of people out there who have no idea what I'm talking about because I don't think they're old enough to understand. But there's an auction. There's an auction tomorrow that offers a couple of really pretty weird but interesting items. One is a letter in an envelope from the founding person for the People's Republic of China, Mao Zedong. Those two items are expected to sell for anywhere between $100,000 and $150,000. The second is a package of diplomatic letters in which Chiang Kai-shek sought help from Adolf Hitler as China fell during World War II. Those are two interesting items, but obviously they would be more, I think, relegated to the people that are interested in worldwide history and especially war history.
Most definitely, and I saw those things being offered and that were coming up, and I think that has a whole area of collecting of people who are searching for not only signed documents but historic, that have historic references and historic letters from world leaders. And I think that's where you're going to get a lot of activity for the bidding. And I think a lot of people will be watching that if they're into that. It's also one of those things that it has a lot of historic, not only significance, but references, but then how does that translate into value? And that'll be an interesting thing to watch to see where those letters sell, especially with all of what's going on in our geopolitical climate today, in looking at what their effect has, that again, that ripple effect, where it has led us to today.
It's, my final thing, and I noticed this because I remember seeing a story about Steve Wynn and his declining eyesight and how he accidentally poked a hole in one of the rare paintings that he had. But Sotheby's, I guess, is holding an auction, and it's going to be in Las Vegas, and it's going to be at the MGM Resorts in Las Vegas, and they're going to auction off a whole bunch of Picasso artworks. They want to take in $100 million. If there's a bunch of Picassos, doesn't the term $100 million sound a little low to you?
I think there might be. It's what they call throwing the bait in. You know, now they just have to make sure somebody bites the hook and pulls the bobber down.
Yeah. There's 11 pieces. There's 11 pieces, and let's see. When are they doing that? That is in...
It's September 21st. Yeah. It's actually a three-day auction. It's 3 days, and it's going to be at the MGM in Vegas. And I actually got the notices on that. I get the notices on what's happening. So it's always fun to see how many auctions are actually taking place. But this is going to be there's a Picasso things. It's going to be I think it's going to be a big sale.
Greg, I didn't mean to interrupt, but this sale also is in it coincides with Picasso would have been 140 years old this year, and they are doing this sale because that I guess Steve Wynn is looking to deepen the focus on diversity and inclusion of his art collection. So these were chosen by Steve Wynn to go up and be sold. And the high estimate, so they have a conservative auction estimate for the 11 pieces of $70 million to $104 million. And again, we know what auction estimates are. They are a marketing tool, and see, they have us talking about it. So it means that they're generating and trying to cast a wide net to get as many people not only talking about the sale, but also looking at it and hopefully becoming more interested and check out the items and thinking, oh, let me take a look. Let me see if I can participate in this and sell this participate and then purchase something. So it'll be interesting to see what that all does. But to have all of these pieces, but there are, it includes, and this is Marshall, this is why you're thinking that all of them are on canvas, but they're not all on canvas. The sale includes works on paper and ceramics as well. Now, yes, there are pieces that are on canvas, but that's why it sounds like, oh, that seems a little low, because if there were 11 canvases that they were selling, then yes, that estimate would be higher. But they are also looking at works on paper and the ceramic pieces, which I love the ceramic pieces. I would love to have a Picasso ceramic. There are some that are just really spectacular. And I actually, when I was out in Las Vegas several years ago with the National Auctioneers Association teaching a couple of classes, they had an exhibition of the Picasso collection from the Wynn collection. So I had an opportunity to go and to view that with a couple of the students so that we could go through and take a look at some of the pieces in his collection. And it's a great collection.
Well, you know, does holding it in Las Vegas is that just a glitzy thing trying to attract the high rollers that might be there in addition to the people that would normally go, or because now everything is streamed anyways, does that not make a difference?
I would go with what you're saying second. It's funny, in the press release, the Sotheby's spokesperson says casino chips will not be accepted as payment for the pieces, but they do say that because they have the streaming technology, and it does make it a lot easier to hold events in a different location. So I think that what they're trying is that since this is where the collection is, was founded, is stored and is known, it just makes a really interesting venue for them to do that and to stream. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, the thing about Las Vegas is when you hold an event in Las Vegas, I think everybody in this country wants to go to Las Vegas at least once, and especially people that have money to spend, just because Las Vegas is Las Vegas. But like I said, the only thing that's you don't have to go there now. Everything's so virtual. But it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I think Las Vegas is a great town to hold anything in, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely. And in the press release, it does state that this is the auction house's first time that they're holding a marquee live-streamed evening sale in North America outside of New York. And though the surroundings will remain somewhat familiar, though, the auction house is going to recreate its New York showroom at the Bellagio. So that I'm sure that they will have cameras. And the interesting thing to watch is the development of these live-streaming sales, is that when they started, it would be just a message on the screen saying, hold, the auction will start in 15 minutes. And now with special events like this, they have actual hosts. They have people that are welcoming people. Thank you. We're here. We are. And they show previews prior. It has become a little more of a produced event. So it'll be interesting to see how they do this. And it'll be something that I'd like to watch and to see how they do this.
Well, there's always something to talk about in your field, I tell you.
Oh, never a dull moment, that's for sure.
Now, are you guys traveling much, or are you staying put now for a little while?
Actually, I'm going to Jackson Hole, Wyoming tomorrow for an estate. So I'll be there Wednesday through and come back Saturday, and then home for a week, and then right after Labor Day, go to Pittsburgh. I sound like Bill Maher at the end of his show. And you can catch me at here, and I'll be performing here. It's kind of like we just have estates all over, and we have a lot of appraisals that are going on. So it's been good.
All right, guys, stay healthy and stay wealthy, and we'll speak to you next week.
And wise. Stay wise.
All right, guys, take care.
Take care, Marshall.
Bye-bye. Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frick and frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You'll find them at tqag.com on the web.